full of bones so very dry. The Lord did ask, can these bones live? Might these bones rise once more? What else was I to say but you alone can tell, O Lord? A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Then prophesy, O Son of Man, cry out to this dead horde, and when they come to life again, they'll know I am the Lord. And as I spoke what I was told, there came a rattling sound. As bone to bone they formed a mass of bodies on the ground. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all the dwellings will wake and shout for joy. And then I called upon the winds, upon these slain to breathe. At once they stood upon their feet, a mighty vast army. A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all those dwelling in the dust will wake and shout for joy.
Help me change from the inside. What am I trying to hide? Send your healing power. Help me. Search me, Holy Spirit. Help me look inside. Tell me what you're seeing. What I'm trying to hide.
Holy Spirit.
Send your healing power.
Search me, Holy Spirit.
Help me change from the inside.
Gathering victory at the sons of Azariah. can change them. And all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide
rolls. He can forgive them. Troubles may. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 22nd day of January, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is The Great Shakening. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do call your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we put a lot of current events type information, prepper information, health issues, everything. And on the home page of the website, you'll find information, if you feel so led, to help us out with a donation. Let's see here. Okay. The will of Yahweh will never take you where the grace of Yahweh will not protect you. You know, the world, of course, wants us to be in constant fear. That's how they get away with what they do. So, obviously, the answer or the corollary of that would be to lose your fear, which takes away their power. We see around us a dystopic world, and I want to remind everybody this world is created by man-made institutions, man-made government, man-made learning institutions, man-made corporations, man-made religion, man-controlled media, just more propaganda. All of it made by evil institutions made up of evil men and women. So it's not a phenomenon of, as some people say, the devil, a spirit, Nephilim, Anunnaki. I mean, they got all these things where they want you looking around all the time as if, you know, these entities, off-world entities, are causing our problems when the problems start within. It's a spiritual problem. As it says in Ezekiel, that there is a valley full of dead and dry bones. Well, that's a biblical way of talking about spiritually dead people. Look at the world today. Tell me these zombies, these creatures that walk around at the shopping centers, along the highways, in the school buildings, in the churches. They're cardboard people. They're going through the motions of being real people, but they're cardboard people. They're cutouts. They're not actually here. If you had a conscience, you couldn't do what these people do. The good news is that Jacob Israel is crying out for justice. I'm hearing it constantly, day in and day out, from our people. Which means that the prayers are going up and we're getting closer to the 2 Chronicles 7:14 solution. We'll read that here just so in case you don't remember it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people, doesn't say the people of the world, does it? Does it say that? Okay, there's only two groups of people on earth, right? Israelites and non-Israelites. That's all. People say, well, what about half-breeds? What about this? What? There's only two groups of people. Israelites and non-Israelites. it doesn't matter what category you want to subdivide the non-Israelites into. That just takes away time and energy to argue those points. You're either his people or you're not. If my people on whom my name is named or my name is called upon make themselves humble or low and come to me in prayer. Okay, we keep looking for man-made solutions, but right here it's telling you who's going to be the solution. Our Father. Searching for me and, there's a conjunction there, and turning from their evil ways. So again, we have a if statement listing conditions. And just like in computer logic, if a if statement, it becomes an or, which means, or I should say an and function, meaning you got to have A and B and C and D before you get outcome E. So all of these things, call upon his name, make yourself humble, come to me in prayer, searching for my answers, and turning from your non-Yahweh type ways. Then I will give ear from heaven, and I will overlook your transgressions, and will give life again to your land, including your people. The dead and dry bones out there. Because they are disgusting. Pretty disgusting. Now, the other good thing that you need to note of is the fact that our enemies we're talking about, but the other portions of mankind, including other nations, other peoples, I'm hearing it more and more every week that goes by. Yes, the things we talk about here on this show and that our guests bring to the show and that we communicate back and forth, this is starting to percolate through society. And now not only are the Israelites starting to catch on, but even the non-Israelites. Now, one thing about non-Israelites, there are two categories of those as well. The non-Israelites that bless Jacob, it says Abraham in your scriptures, but it's talking about the Jacob Israel people. Those who bless Yahweh's people and those who curse. Now, in the non-Israelite category, what difference does that make? Because if they bless Jacob Israel, our people, if they assist us, if they repent, just like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, then they can be as the woman in Matthew who cried out and said, yes, I am a dog. But don't dogs deserve crumbs from their master's table? Well, a lot of people say, well, Dan, that sounds like white supremacy. Well, you can call it anything you want. I really don't give a damn. That's just Jewish wordsmithing, okay? That is to twist the narrative so it takes away from the lesson being taught. The lesson being taught is this woman who cried out to the Christ himself that she wanted a blessing for her sick daughter. And she admitted that she was a dog, which is a biblical expression for a non-Israelite, one of the people outside of the circle of his chosen people, so to speak. And she said, yes, I'm a dog, but don't dogs deserve a crumb from the table? Which is exactly what the verse that says that those who bless Abraham shall be blessed. So she was just reminding Yahshua and the disciples who were with him, hey, okay, I'm a dog, but I'm an obedient dog. I'm a dog of faith. I'm a dog asking for a blessing. I'm a dog willing to admit that, yes, you were put here in charge, but I need a blessing here, and you're ignoring me. That's the book of Matthew's story that we've all read, and many times churches gloss over it completely and leave out the details that are so significant. So again, these other people are listening. There is an awakening going on. And I know, like in the title today, I said shakening because it's a word that seems to flow off my tongue easier than just shaken or just shaking. Even though shakening is not a word, but awakening is. Okay? Not sure how that came about. But I know if there's any purist out there, they're going to say, well, Dan, you made up a word. Well, I guess in a way I did. To me, it sounds better than just shaking. So for the purist, you're just going to have to live with it. Now, as these people, both the Israelites and non-Israelites, are crying out for justice, our Heavenly Father's listening from on high. We talked about a word that we discovered many years ago. I was looking through an exhaustive dictionary for some other words, and I happened to stumble across this word, rhadamanthine. We haven't talked about that in a while. Rhadamanthine, which is interesting, it's in our dictionaries, and yet you almost never hear it used. And I used to wonder about that. Why is this strange word based on the Greek language, rhadamanthine, why is it not in use? Well, first of all, it's a foreign-sounding word. But the main reason it's not used is because it doesn't apply to very many people. Because the word rhadamanthine, which is R-H-A-D-A-M-A-N-T-H-I-N-E, rhadamanthine. Rhadamanthine means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Just. Do we need to look up that word, just, in case people don't quite understand it? Well, this is a very poor dictionary here. It gives some of the common ones, but when used as a adjective, used especially of what is legally or ethically right or proper or fitting, of moral excellence, moral excellence. That's when you're a just person. So, rhadamanthine should be a word describing the average Caucasian today. I'm talking about the real Caucasians, not the mixed multitude. I'm not talking about those who pretend to be, but the actual Adamic people that Yahweh put upon this earth. They should exhibit the attributes of God. You know, it says in there that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And some of the verses we're going to read here in a minute talk about how the sons of the Most High are identified. And one of the ways is that we exhibit his attributes. We say, well, what the hell are you talking about, Dan? His attributes. We are a living, breathing mock-up, if you will, of him. We are a model of him. His thoughts, his deeds, his words, his desires, his intentions on this earth. Do we exemplify them or do we not? His true sons and daughters will exemplify all of him. That's why I've said for so many years, you know, when we get talking into certain subjects like the real controversial ones, for instance, polygamy or circumcision and some of the other more controversial topics. You have to understand, folks, the reason I bring those up is I don't like contention. I really don't. But I'm bringing them up because your heads have been screwed on backwards for so long. You've had so many liars in your lifetime. And many of those liars claim to be teachers of the scriptures. To where your life today, the way you live it, does not exemplify our Father at all. You believe, because you were brainwashed from a child on, that you're walking in his footsteps when in fact you are not. And I'll make that very, very clear. If you're mutilating your male child, you are a barbarian. And yes, I'm guilty of that. I admit that. I have repented of that. Should the Father above ever bless me with more children, the males will never, ever have the knife applied to them. In fact, the children will be born naturally at home, probably in water, like the Lamaze method. But there'll be a natural home birth. No cutting of the umbilical cord until all of the blood is out of that cord. I used to wonder about that. Why, when you cut the cord, isn't it a bloody mess? And no, you don't cut the cord right away. You allow the child to get accustomed to breathing. You allow the child to bond with mom. And while that is happening, the blood that belongs in the baby and all of the nutrients and all of the antibodies and everything else that that child needs are being pumped through the cord. And you don't cut the cord until the cord shrivels up on its own. Do you see how beautiful Yahweh's ways are? They've got us so paranoid, so petrified with fear, that we run to sterile locations and completely ungodly situations to have our children. It's no wonder children have bonding problems and trust issues. I know I'm one. I went through those horrendous procedures as a child. I never thought about it much until years later when I began to realize that, yes, I have some significant bonding problems. I have significant trust issues. Because I love my mother and father. Don't get me wrong. I know of no two finer people that ever walked the earth, but they were wrong to follow the ways of the world when it came to having us children. They were wrong. It's as simple as that. They didn't do it because they were malicious. They didn't do it because they wanted to harm us. They did it because it was, quote, the thing to do. No different than my uncle the farmer going along with the ag department and no-till farming. Totally stupid and ridiculous. Totally wrong. We trusted the wrong voices. Those things have to be fixed. And by the way, when we get into the multiple wife thing, that people just don't get a hold of that at all. They really don't. They don't understand the logic behind it. I could point you to a book written by James Stivers called Eros Made Sacred. Probably the best book. I've got other books too by Pastor Butts that's near the Ozark Mountains. Him and his four wives helped write the book. That's an excellent book too. And there's many others. And, Pastor Bob Hallstrom, who has since passed, but he did an excellent series on the whole thing. But James Stivers put it all together in this little book to where he lays out the logic, not only the scriptural basis, which is there, by the way, very strongly there, But he lays it out to show you the logic. How much better life is for everybody under that system. Whether you practice it or not, it's better for the whole community. And I'm simply telling people these things because when the Father, who will rule over us with a scepter of iron, meaning forceful, no bending of the rules, all this man-made stuff is going to go away. So if you want to hang on to it, you're no different than Lot's life, who kept looking back towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened to her? She got turned into a pillar of salt, a biblical way of saying she was destroyed. Whether it's literal or figurative, what difference does it make? The point is the same. If you want to hang on to Egypt, if you want to go back there because you're hooked on all the delicacies and the lies, because you find your lies to be comfortable, well, things aren't going to go really well for you. Again, he's going to rule over us with a scepter of iron. And this world is going to find out just how sick of our machinations or machinations he is, because mankind has been up to some nefarious things for quite some time. Now, we use the word dystopic because that is the world we live in today, and dystopia is a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. So we do live in a dystopic world. Now, this other quote that we say here quite often is now starting to be repeated. Now, they don't give credit all the time to Richard Buckminster Fuller, but I like to give credit where credit is due. I didn't come up with this. He did, as far as we know. He may have gotten it from somebody else. Who knows? You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Yes, the reality of this dystopic, monstrous, anti-Yahweh world that we live in. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. We've talked about this many times. There's a movie with Kevin Costner in it, and yeah, I know Kevin Costner's a Jew. But the movie Field of Dreams, the symbolism in the movie is very good. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come, is said in the movie over and over and over. So if you marry that premise in the movie with what Richard Buckminster Fuller is saying, if we build a better model, and what's a better model? Getting back to Yahweh's way of living and turning our backs on man's made-up system, which is enslaving mankind and destroying the earth in the process. Turn our backs to their system, everything about their system, and we learn to live like the Amish. Don't become Amish, but live like the Amish. We build a better model based on natural healing, based on real food, drinking clean water, staying away from the poisons, staying away from the pharmaceuticals, staying away from all of the things that harm us. Oh, but Dan, we have to, you do, you have to. Let's see, mankind's been on this earth for, tens of thousands of years. Adamic man, you and I, our ancestors have been here about 7,000 to 8,000 years. Yeah, there were other races here when the Adamic man showed up. So we've been here for millennia without any of these man-made systems we have today. And yet, you believe because of these Jewish creations, these man-made systems like the pharmaceutical industry, you think because of them in the last 100 to 150 years that we can't live without them. How the hell do you think we got here through thousands and thousands of years without all of this modern bullshit? Have you ever stopped to think, or don't you stop to think? Maybe that's your problem. You're busy in your life and in your entertainment and in your pursuit of hedonistic pleasures. You don't take the time to think. Maybe that's part of the problem. Because if you did, you'd sit there and realize, wait a minute. I'm living in the Matrix. The movie is predictive programming. I'm plugged in to the electronic devices that project the will of the beast. Think about it, folks. You better. Your life here and now and the life to come has a lot to do with it. There's another quote, and this one's of Ralph Waldo Emerson in his writing, The Value of Good Work. If a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. This goes right along with what Mr. Fuller said. If you write the better book, preach the better sermon, or build a better device like a mousetrap, then the people around you, the world will come and seek you out. That's the better model. If we have the courage to say no to the Antichrist, if we have the courage to say we are stepping out of your dystopic world that's full of lies, deceptions, and perversions, we're stepping away from that and we're creating a new model, a better mousetrap. And our new model makes your model obsolete. Only a fool would stay with you, demonic forces, and your twisted way of looking at things. And if they do stay with them, so be it, they will go down with them as well. Revelation 18:4 reminds us that another voice from heaven came to my ears, saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins, which is transgressions of God's law, and in her punishments, which are yet to come. There's some who have suffered punishment already in this dystopic world run by these psychopaths, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. That's why I told people for years and years, you had better choose wisely which side of his fence you wish to be on. Do you wish to be with the sheep? And if you're a non-Israelite, do you wish to be those that bless the Israelites? Who support godly government, godly ways of living, godly production of food, godly raising of our children, godly institutions of education, godly natural health? Do you wish for those? Will you support those? Or will you support the Antichrist? It's going to make a huge difference very soon. Now, yes, we've been on the radio for over 23 years now. And to us, it seems like this has taken forever because we have seen Yahweh opened up the eyes of his remnant, his elect for the final end of the age. You're part of that elect if you've been awake for a while. And yes, it is a struggle to know how beautiful this world could be under the laws of our Creator, and then to see what man has done in creating this cesspool, promoting all of the degeneracy that goes on day in and day out. But again, to our Heavenly Father, a day can be as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time is a dimension here upon this earth. No, not the universe. Our universe is right here. In this place created by our Father, the laws that apply here don't apply on the other side. That should be intuitive. That should be obvious. So here in this plane that we live, time is a dimension. It does not exist on the other side. Oh, Dan, how can that be? It just does. You'll see when you get there. But time applies here. We feel it. And yet you can even say, and I know I can say, I'm sure you can as well, I've been on this earth for quite a few decades now, and it feels as if it was a day. It really does. And days fly by like hours used to fly by. Months fly by like weeks used to fly by. Years fly by like months used to. It speeds up as you get older and you become more aware. It's just a function of this existence, the spiritual side of us within these flesh body suits, to go through this experience. And I know I repeat these quotes quite often because they are quite significant. I want them to be memorized, or at least the concept or precept of what these verses and these quotes are saying should be burned into your psyche. Henry David Thoreau said, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root." You look at mankind, the ones trying to make a difference in this world, you're ignoring the advice of Mr. Thoreau. Instead of whacking at the results of what evil people do, which is what this whole dystopic world has become, why don't we go down the rabbit hole? Why don't we, quote, follow the money? It's a very easy to understand concept. My grandfather told me about it. He didn't say anything about Henry David Thoreau. He just told me when I was a boy, a small boy, I wasn't probably more than 8 or 9 years old, young man. I remember him telling me, and my father would tell me the same thing, but my grandfather said, when you want to figure out what's going on in this crazy world, follow the money. So that was 60 years ago. And boy, was he right. And so was Mr. Thoreau. And so is other quotes in Scripture. The love of money, the word tells us, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's another way of saying it. The love of money. So if you want to figure out where the evil comes from, find those who lust after money. The Klaus Schwabs of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, almost everybody in Washington, D.C., in our so-called representative government. They represent somebody, all right, but it isn't you and me, it's themselves, to enrich themselves. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, gives a very strong warning. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, people who twist things completely around, much as this world has done. Now, we are given encouragement in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. But you have to ask first. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. But do you notice it always requires an action on our part? Okay, Matthew chapter 7 is telling us, if you will be proactive, if you will ask, if you will seek, and if you will knock at the door, then the Father will see to it that the desires of your heart are given to you. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned on the earth, how much more will we not escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven? Whose voice shook the earth, then but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This is a reference to Haggai chapter 2. This phrase, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace through which we serve Yahweh God acceptably, with reverence and awe. For our Elohim God is a consuming fire. And so are we as his children. Remember, the sons of God mean you are a what? Manifestation of the attributes of the King of Kings himself. That's when you're counted as a son of the Most High. That's a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 4. He is a consuming fire. Obadiah and Ezekiel told us that there's a time coming when the sons of Jacob, our men, will become a flame and a fire, and we will consume Edom Esau, who represents what? Antichrist. All of the people who are against our Father are Antichrist. Not just Jews. Jews are so because of both race and their religion. They are Antichrist. Isaiah 13:13, therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. The shaking and heavens and the earth. Exactly. The shakening here is in the Greek language, meaning a disruption, a total disruption from the norm. And it is both the heavens and the earth, meaning not only the physical, but also the geopolitical systems. And tell me, those of you that have been around for a few decades, like some of us older folks, this world doesn't resemble anything like what I grew up in. Now, they're hoping that you will turn against us elders. They're already trying the predictive program and propagandize you that somehow we're a problem. But the real reason they want the older folks gone is because we still remember a different world. We grew up in a world where Yahweh was important. We grew up in a world where normalcy and morality was something we aspired to. These people want you to forget that ever existed because they are perverts. They are demons in shoe leather. And so they want to turn this into a hell on this earth. And they want you to go along with it. So they need us to die off. Part of this whole scamdemic was to get older people in nursing homes and all to give them the drug remdesivir and to put them on ventilators, which they knew would kill them. So it was an attempt to murder the elderly. Now they want you to possibly become violent at some point and finish the job for them. It's not going to work, of course, but that doesn't mean they won't try it. Just as they tried to murder Christ as a boy, a young boy in Bethlehem. It didn't work either. Of course, many innocent boys did die as the Jews sought to murder the Messiah. But the Messiah came through it, and we are his sons and daughters. Okay. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, what Malachi is talking about here, of course, is back in his day, the tithe, and you should be familiar with the tithe was put into the storehouse because the tithe was a tenth of the produce of their fields and their flocks. And so it was how the Levites and those who administered the proceedings at the temple and bought things for the temple, etc., that was what they lived on because they did not have time to go out and till the fields and harvest and things such as that. They were busy in the temple and taking care of the people's needs as far as their spiritual counseling, etc., and teachings. So the tithe was used for that, and that's what he's saying here. Make sure you put it in here. A full tithe and not a reduction. Now, the modern day church world will tell you that you owe 10% of like your wages, which is not true. The tithe was the increase, not your standard wage, but if Yahweh blessed you with an increase. If the farmer planted, let's say, 5 acres and he got 100 bushels of corn on an average year, but then all of a sudden he got an extra 50 bushels out of that same 5 acres. That 50 extra bushels was considered a blessing from heaven. And therefore 1/10, 5 bushels, was to be given to the storehouse. Does that make sense? Of course it makes sense. The church world has everything turned upside down because the church world is today a man-made institution. And so, like polluted and corrupted men, they care more about making money and having money come in. I think the Mormons are some of the worst at that. What they demand of the people in these congregations is unbelievable at times. Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set Yahweh always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So once again, as we see this world shaking around us, all the institutions, all the things we used to believe in, all of the trusted voices that we accepted to be telling us facts, when in fact it's not true. So if Yahweh and his teachings, the Holy Spirit, is with you, then you shall not be shaken by what? By the fear porn, by the propaganda. Throw it away. I like that other quote. I don't have it here today, but there's a quote that says that everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Psalm 52, verse 22, cast your burden on Yahweh and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Remember, there's another verse that says, the righteous stand firm. When they stand firm, the wicked flee. Why do you think the wicked is trying so desperately to get you to become agnostic or atheistic, to turn from our Heavenly Father? Because they don't stand a chance. As long as we stand firm in our faith and we do not operate in a state of fear, but we operate in a state of righteous indignation, we clean up our own house first, look in the mirror, and as each of us take on the responsibility of cleaning ourselves in our own house, then we as a group will finally be able to do what Obadiah at verse 18 tells us. That's the solution this world's waiting for, by the way, folks. Because when you do go down that rabbit hole, when you do follow the trail of the money, it will always take you back to the same synagogue of Satan that Christ warned us about. No, he was not a Jew. He was a Jehudite, a member of the tribe of Judah, but not a Jew. Looking for my other verses here. Third John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. And again, this is talking about the importance of our, what? Our health. Folks, today it's more important than it's ever been. Get your ass in shape. Okay? I remember when I was younger, I tried to tell my wife at that time to get in shape. And her cop-out was, oh, you want me in shape just because you want to be more attracted to me for sex. I used to shake my head and laugh. I said, you don't understand the need for you to take care of your body. You want to hang it on that so that you can walk away from your responsibility. Now, fast forward to the present, and that individual has had many medical problems over the years due to the fact that they did not take care of themselves at all, and they were carrying probably 50 to 60 pounds extra weight. I'm going to tell you, over decades, that is tremendous stress on joints, ligaments, organs. I've told people for years, if you want an idea of what we're talking about here, go down to the local gym or to your neighbor that's got regular Olympic weights that they work out with, and ask them to show you where the 50-pound, now that might be a little too heavy for some of you, just go look for a 40-pound then, one of the big round metal discs. It'll have it stamped on there, 40 pounds. Now that's just 40 pounds. Go pick up that 40-pound weight and carry it around for about 10 minutes. And see how you feel. Just 10 minutes and only 40 pounds. Now you look at the people out there that have carried an extra 50, 60, 70, 80 or more pounds on their frames for decades. And you don't think that's going to cause problems? Are you insane? I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. And ladies, okay, yeah, you're more attractive if there's a little less of you. But that goes for the men as well. But that's got nothing to do with it. We're supposed to be in the image of our Creator, and our Creator had a set body weight, a set size for your frame when you were formed in the womb. There was an ideal proportion and weight when you're in good health. And I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of people I see walking this earth aren't anywhere even close to that goal. I've been performing an experiment for almost 5 years now, and it seems to be working very, very well, where I eat almost exclusively organic. Yep, I've had to cut out a lot of the things I used to like to do, going to a tiki bar for a drink and a burger and fries, or to a restaurant, or to some other diner. I've cut all that out because they don't put the best food on the table for you. They really don't. You start searching and find out where that food came from, it'll give you nightmares. So yeah, I've had to give up all that, but I have noticed that my experiment is working out pretty much the way I thought it would. If you will limit the quantity of food that you take into your body, and you make sure that it's the best that you can find, the purest, the closest to what Yahweh made, you'll find that your appetite goes down. Why? Because you're getting the nutrients the body needs. It's as simple as that. If the minerals and the vitamins that are needed for life are there in a smaller quantity of quality food, then your body shuts down the appetite. I used to be, right after high school, I went from about 203 pounds up to 225 pounds. And I got thicker, because that's about that time when the body fills out more, so much thicker in the chest than the arms. So I was carrying about 220, 225 when I played football in college and when I went into the military. I thought I was in pretty good shape. I was going to the gym all the time, playing sports all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. In the past 5 years, now that my body weight has returned to where Yahweh intended it to be, which is right around 190 to 195 pounds, I feel better. And I'm not making that up. I feel much better. And I'm not wasting all that time pumping iron down at some gym somewhere. Instead, I use that time to study, to talk to people, to read, to fix cars, to mow grass, to do landscaping, to help a neighbor. I do things. That's where I get my exercise. And because I feel so much better, I do more things than I used to do. I don't want to just sit on a chair watching a computer screen or a video game or a movie. I don't want to do that. I have energy. The muscles feel better. The ligaments feel better. The flexibility is there. And a lot of people say, oh, no, no. Once you get to 60, you know, it's all downhill and you just expect that you're going to put on weight. You just expect that you're going to feel like crap and expect that you're going to die. I don't accept that. I've never accepted that. I sure hope you're not in that crowd. That's the way of the world. That's people who are lazy. They don't want to do the right things. And so they just make a story and cop out. Well, I don't want to live past 60 anyway. I had a guy actually tell me that one time. Well, when I figure I get to 60, 65, what's the sense of hanging around anyway? So I'm just going to enjoy myself, meaning I'm not going to do anything about my health. I'm going to eat junk food. I'm going to get fat, and I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing for 60 to 65 years, and then I'm just going to die. And he figured that was a good plan. I got news for you. You come up on that 60 to 65 pretty damn fast. If that's your attitude, when you get to 60, 65, I don't know a single person that has been in bad shape that didn't say, I wish I had taken better care of myself. Or if I knew I was actually going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Putting a little effort into doing the right things pays huge dividends, people. Huge dividends. Not only do you feel better, but also you're not spending a fortune for pharmaceuticals and doctors. Of course, doctors and pharmaceuticals want you to be forever in pain and suffering and coming down and spending money in their offices and buying their drugs. Of course they do. You're just a dollar sign to them. My philosophy is I'm not going to go to a hospital. I'm not going to go to a doctor's office. I don't do any testing. I don't go in for any exams ever. Oh, Dan, you're past 50. Yeah, I'm 20 years almost past 50. You mean you haven't gone in for the exam? No, and I'm not going to. Oh, well, what if you have cancer? What if you have a prostate problem? Blah, 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 blah. But what if? What if? Oh, Lord, I'm afraid. I got to run down and have that witch doctor give me a clean bill of health. No, I don't let him stick anything in my body. I don't let him take blood. I'm not going to let him probe me. No. No, because I'm armed with information. And I trust our Father in heaven. I trust sound logic. Because I have lived long enough to know that natural works. It reminds me, many years ago, when I lived in Michigan, I went to an acupuncturist for a problem that I was having. I couldn't quite solve it. I'd done something to hurt my knee, and it was pretty painful. So I thought, well, I've never tried it, so I'm going to see what this acupuncture is all about. So I went to this young lady, and she was Chinese. And I'm sitting on the table, and she's getting ready to put the little probes into my knee. And I noticed up on the wall she had a certificate from medical school. She was an MD doctor. And I said, I have to ask, you're operating this little clinic, if you will, for acupuncture. I said, but you don't advertise that you're an MD. You went and got the degree. She goes, oh, yeah, I got the degree. But she said Western medicine doesn't work. So I went back to China and studied for 3 years to be an acupuncturist because acupuncture does work. Natural does work. So she was one of the few honest people. I have since met nurses and a few doctors that have admitted the same thing, that are white people. But this Chinese lady, I thought that was very interesting. She went back to China for another 3 years of education because Western medicine doesn't work. And it doesn't work. Now, I know there's a few of you out there that are on certain drugs and all, and you're convinced that you have to have them in order to, quote, survive. But I also know lots of people that have gone from taking their pharmaceutical drugs to being practically, and in some cases totally, off of all pharmaceuticals. I'm meeting more and more people that are doing that. They've reduced the number of pharmaceuticals down to maybe one or two at most, and a few people have eliminated pharmaceuticals completely. And you know what? Every one of them feels completely different in a good way. More energy, better attitude, more clarity of thought. Drugs are just that. Pharmakia in the Greek language. Drugs used in sorcery and black magic. That's what comes out of a pharmacy. Now, you don't have to believe that. Like I've said, I'm not going to lose any sleep on what you decide to do. I really, to be honest, I really don't care. Because our job, the remnant's job, is to simply bring Yahweh's truth to you. What you do with it is up to you. Yahweh's not going to force you to do the right thing. I'm sure as hell not going to force it. I'm simply going to report what the blessings are when you do those things which our Father expects us to do. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, or actually it should be Jacob, but because it's Jacob, but to honor King James, the translators made it James. James, a servant of Yahweh God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. So right here in the New Testament, the book of James is to what? The 12 tribes in the dispersion. Doesn't say the world, does it? How does the modern world get away with that? How do the New Testament Zio Christards get away with that one? Yahweh, he loves everybody and he died for everybody and the whole world is... Really? You know, that's only been since the Catholic Church came about, you know. And the Catholic Church is a political organization. And the Catholic Church's reason for missions to the non-whites was so they could get in there and get political power and to steal their resources. And sometimes those resources are their sons and daughters. Yeah, that's what the Catholic Church wanted to evangelize the world. And they pushed this whole nonsensical evangelizing of the non-white peoples. That's why. That's why. They're a criminal organization. And it's amazing to me how many millions of people fall for their garbage. But then again, all the other man-made religions they fall for too, whether it's Mohammedism or Shintoism or Judaism, all man-made. Have nothing to do with honesty and the truth and the way our Creator wants things to do. All man-made from the get-go. And yet, billions of people fall for this stuff. It's amazing. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money. How about that? Keep your life free from love or lust of money. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8:19, for the creation, this world, right here, earth, terra firma, for the creation and all that's in it, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh God. The whole world is in travail, folks, waiting for who? Us. When are the sons of the Most High going to step forward and say enough is enough? You know, guys, we can change that overnight, right? We can. You simply have to decide on which side of the fence you are going to be found on. One of his sheep, or one of the goats. Judgment time is approaching quickly. Very quickly. And so your time of sitting on your ass thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. Well, No, you don't. Things are going to change very, very soon. And if you're caught with the goats, it's going to be pretty ugly. When the righteous of this earth do stand, and the righteous of this earth figure out what you've been up to, what the forces of darkness have been up to, the lies, the deception, the torture, the murder, the rape, the organ harvesting, the sex slavery, and on and on and on and on. The pushing of poisons and calling them medicine. Doctors and nurses that go along with this stuff. Medical, quote, institutions that go along. The media that goes along. Government agents and bureaucrats that go along. Men and women in uniform who help enforce. You're all culpable. I personally would wish you to repent. However, should you choose not to, then I wish for the curses of our Father to be upon your head very soon and very severely for what you have done. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. These dystopic days are painful for us to witness, to watch innocent lives harmed because they would not bear to hear the truth. They would not use their common sense or the intellect that you gave them. They would not trust you in the things that you have created and provided. They've turned from you and your law and have accepted the laws created by institutions that are nefarious, hideous, and heinous to the core. We who love you, Father, we ask your blessing upon us. If we have dross or those things that are unfit, then we ask that you cleanse us of them. Make us fit men and women to do service for you. We pray for an awakening across this earth of good men and women to finally understand that the evil that pervades this world is but a tiny remnant, a tiny group of megalomaniacs, automatons, psychopaths. If mankind rises up and demands justice and follows righteous leaders, then this world could be turned around overnight, and it could become a paradise for all of mankind yet again. To that end, give us courage and discernment, Father Yahweh. Give us the words to speak when we're in public or when we're before a court or before a tribunal of some kind, or even in front of the media. Give us a stiff backbone. Give us discernment. Help us to restore empathy for those who are lost. But most of all, we pray, Father Yahweh, that you would come and sit upon the throne and rule over us with a scepter of iron. No more debates. No more arguing. You are the rightful author of what is right and wrong. Your ways are the right ways, even if we do not fully understand them. We pray for your coming to be very soon. We pray for the judgment upon this earth and to the elimination of the wicked to be very soon. Again, forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name, we do pray. Hallelujah.
May the blessing of light be upon you. Light on the outside, light on the inside. With God's sunlight shining on you, may your heart glow with warmth like a turf fire that welcomes friends and strangers alike. May the light of the Lord shine from your eyes like a candle in the window, welcoming the weary traveler. May the blessing of God's soft rain be on you, falling gently on your head, refreshing your soul with the sweetness of little flowers newly blooming. May the strength of the winds of heaven bless you, carrying the rain to wash your spirit clean, sparkling after in the sunlight. May the blessing of God's earth be on you, and as you walk the roads, may you always have a kind word for those you meet. Understand the strength and power of God in a thunderstorm in winter, and the quiet beauty of creation in the calm of a summer sunset. And may you come to realize that, insignificant as you may seem in this great universe, you are an important part of God's plan. May he watch over you and keep you safe from harm.
Sincere, but they don't know what's going on. Candlelights burning low. Let's light another in the evening glow. Take a look around you, and before you know, we're gonna fall in love. Hold my hand, I'll hold yours. Pull a little closer, I'll close them doors. Maybe we'll remember what a kiss is for. We're gonna fall in love. And it's so fun to touch your fingertips, so wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips, feeling I can't hide. So dance with me, embrace the song. Nothing ever after in the world is wrong. When we are together, girl, you know we both belong. And we're gonna fall in love. Are those wedding bells I hear? Sure sounds like it. Play Mr. Fingers. It's so fun to touch your fingertips. So wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips, a feeling I can't hide. I'm not gonna try. So come with me, enjoy the view. Nothing is important, that's not part of you. Maybe you'll discover just what I'm coming to. We're gonna fall in love, baby, now. Sent from up above, we're gonna fall in love.
Signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your mind.
to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
On the European shores, then rose to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty so that all the world would know. Prosperity and health. But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth, and sent the British armies to make war with his Sons of Liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves. We the people, the United States of America, shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
We the people, United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty. Unfolds in our nation's history as the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land.
it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves,
we the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny.
The United States of America,
our God reigns and proclaims liberty.
The United States of America,
we the people,
the United States of America.